you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018, and I'm going to begin with a doxology, Jason. I was reading in Jude earlier today and just think this is a classic passage, a verse that's maybe many times recited in church or ending Sunday service, or for that matter, maybe a Christian gathering. Reading from Jude, the 24th verse. There's only one chapter in this book. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Maybe somebody tuned in today needed to hear that. God is for you. He's in the process of trying to refine you, bringing Himself glory, but bringing you peace or hope, or hopefully reconciling you to Himself so that you can walk in step with His Spirit's cadence, with His leading, and that you can make a difference in this hurting world this very day. But good doxology out of Jude. Jude, what, the brother of Jesus?
Well, story? I always say half-brother.
Half-brother of Jesus.
Half-brother, because yeah. Jesus was not fully, he was fully human and fully God, fully man, fully God. So I always say half-brother.
Same because, mother, different father.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, father of all, but yeah, same kind of thing.
Well, let me announce a couple things. You're part of one of these.
You're going to get me arrested?
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully, Lord willing, on Monday with Bob Sievers, we'll be talking about his book, The Islamic Inversion. But his book signing will be Tuesday, July 31st, 5 to 7 p.m. here at the Great News Radio Center. So Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, we'll have Bob in the studio. We'll be talking about his book and how to reach out to our Muslim neighbors and friends and make connections so they can understand Christianity, hopefully follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has some really unique methods or means or tools or bridge building things that we can do to get to know our Muslim neighbors and hopefully get them introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. So
Amen.
We'll have Bob on Monday, Bob Sievers, and then Tuesday will be his book signing here at the Great News Radio Center. But this Sunday, Leticia will be here. She'll be singing a few songs with Jean-René Balakita. We'll have a couple of videos. They were taping like one of those, I don't know, like YouTube things where they're singing their songs and they're all over East Central Illinois, and they did some of the singing here in the studio, and so they produced this so many minute video recollecting all these places where they're singing her songs. And so that'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. this Sunday at the Great News Radio Center. And you can hear all about it because we talked about it on Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, which is archived. That's greatnewsradio.org. But this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Great News Radio Center, we'll have some treats and snacks, and she and Jean-René will sing a few songs, and it'll just be a great fellowship time. But this is her first ever release of a CD, so come on out and support her and her music ministry. And we're leaving it up to you to decide how much you'd want to pay for a CD.
So, it's kind of a name your price.
Yeah, name your price. If you only have $5, bring it along. If you want to give her $20, that's great too. So that's this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. So, wow, I don't know, lots of things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. It's interesting that you went to Jude because, you know, Jude is the final letter of the Bible before we get to Revelation, which is the, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John at the cave in Patmos when Jesus reveals. It's in the New Testament way. It is one of the only real prophetic books, book that speaks about the future, an unknown future, which God is making known to us. And so a lot of people would say, you know, well, should we as Christians be concerned with prophecy? My answer would be this. Yes, but only prophecy where it comes from God. So many times we hear prophecy and it comes from men. I mean, we think about, I forget about the gentleman, I think his name was Kaysen or Casey, something like that. The guy who had said the world was going to end in October. And then all of a sudden he had to say, oh, no, wait, it's going to end in November. And he kept readjusting his dates based on doing some kind of squirrely biblical math that he could find. But there's so many books that line the shelves if you go to a Christian bookstore that has a prophecy section about, well, this is going to happen here, and this is going to happen here, and we see the signs in here and the signs over here. And the book of Revelation says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Not any other prophecy, but this prophecy. Now, prior to that in Revelation, it tells us, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, this is the what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants. So just think about that chain. It's so fascinating to me that God gives this to Jesus for the express purpose that Jesus would reveal or show that to his servants. That Jesus would say, here is right prophecy. Not the things that you're trying to, not the convoluted kind of things you're coming to by looking at culture and looking at the way stars line up or looking at the way that the moon looks or looking at the way that the water falls down the mountain. I mean, take your pick. I mean, I've heard so many different kinds of things. But here it says specifically, the only revelation you can trust is the one that was given to Jesus by God, in which Jesus was called to show to his servants. And it says that must soon take place. I think it's where we get ourselves all wrapped up, isn't it? Because it says must soon take place. And so we're like, wait, soon? It's been 2,000, you know, more than 2,000 years since this happened, since John was given this revelation at Patmos in 90 AD. Well, you know what? The Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, so he's not even done with coffee yet. Yeah. I mean, there's still time. But I think the more important thing is that this is what we are to trust. This is the prophecy, the revelation. These are the words that we're to hang our hat on about what the future is going to look like. Now, all that to say, Jude writes concerning a period that is leading up and into that. So a lot of people would say that, well, I've never really read the book of Jude. I've never really studied the book of Jude. I've never really paid attention to the book of Jude.
Yeah, I told you I had to, like, look. Now, where is Jude again? I couldn't remember. And it's just one page. So
yeah, and Jude can get so easily missed because it is just one page. It's one of the shorter letters in the New Testament, charting it at only 25 verses. But within these 25 verses, we find so much of what is happening today in our world that's not unlike what happened then. And you even have to just begin, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. So we know right there that Jude is telling us that he's a servant of Jesus Christ, but he is also connected to Jesus Christ because he is the brother of James. And James, we know, tells us specifically his relationship to Jesus.
I want to just do a little disclaimer. You had no idea whatsoever. I just pulled this out of thin air and I opened up my Bible and started reading. So Jason had no preparation whatsoever. I didn't even hint or anything that we might go here. I just thought, I just finished reading this doxology.
Well, luckily, earlier. This is a book that I read often because it is only one page, two pages in my large print Bible. But I find it to be so fascinating because that last prayer that you read, the doxology, and I want to get to there in about 11 minutes, is so important. But Jude says, beloved, although I was very eager to write you about our common salvation. So Jude says, I wanted to write you a different letter. Jude says, I wanted to write and talk to you about how awesome it is that we're all saved and we're being kept, that we've been loved by God, that through Christ we have a new life, that we are made new, that we're new creations. So I wanted to write about our common salvation, the things that we as brothers and sisters in Christ share. He says, but I couldn't. I couldn't because there are pressing matters at hand. You know, one of the things that's really interesting is Jude is saying, by doing this, Jude's saying, I really wanted to live in the land of unicorns and Skittles, but I can't because there's a reality that's happening around us that really needs to be addressed. And what is that reality? He says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. He says, listen, this faith, this thing that you have, this thing that you live within and live in light of, it needs to be contended for. You need to fight for the faith. You don't need to just sit idly by and go, gosh, it's so good Jesus saved us. Wonder when he's coming back. He says there is a
like a pressing matter?
A pressing need to contend for the faith because there are those who are trying to change the faith. There are those who are trying to steer the faith a different direction. There are those who are trying to say, Jesus loves me, this I know, but the Bible doesn't say that. No, wait a second. How do you even know if what Jesus says and how Jesus loves you if you're changing the words of Jesus? Then it becomes your love. It becomes the way that you think Jesus loves. You don't change. You're not God's editors. You're God's messengers. Your job is not to change the Bible, but to teach the Bible, to exhort the Bible, all the parts, the good parts and the parts that are really difficult and really hard. Because one of the problems that Jude was facing in his day that we face in our day is false teachers. Those people who want to twist and malign God's word to say that it says something else. Those who want to say, well, God doesn't care about homosexuality. No, actually, the Bible talks about it. Well, God doesn't care about you. No, God actually does. Well, you know, the Bible says that we can be racist. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, the Bible says we can slavery. Well, slavery in the context of the Bible was different than it is in the context of what was happening culturally for us 150 years ago. And so you need to not change the words of the Bible to fit whatever it is you're trying to accomplish or you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to open up the Bible and let somebody know they can't do it because God loves them so much. He wants the best for them. And the life they're living is not the best.
Yeah.
The life they're living is not the best. And I've heard it all. I really have. I've heard people twist the Bible to say, well, you know, I mean, it's okay that I had an affair over here. I've heard people twist the Bible and say, well, it's okay, you know, that I beat my kid. It's okay. I mean, I've heard it all. I've heard people take the Bible and try, well, it's okay that I treat people of other colors and nationalities this way. God, because of the Bible. No, it's not what it says. It's not what it says. And so Judas is addressing the fact that he's contending for the faith. When he says the faith, he's saying the revelation that's been given to us through the Bible. And he finds it necessary to write about this, necessary to point out that there are people who are twisting God's words and God's message. You can't talk about common salvation if you twist God's word, because all of a sudden the salvation that you're offering is no longer God's salvation. It's salvation built upon the ideals of men. The thoughts of men, because we've twisted God's words to suit us instead of turning our lives towards God.
Even Jesus talked about that, where we're following the traditions of man and not the scriptures.
Exactly. And now he says this is a verse that always just kind of gives me shudders, verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So he says, look at, you're so focused out there that you're forgetting that there are some people who have crept in here, who have gotten in behind the lines. They've crawled under the wire, and they are attempting from the inside out to change the grace of God into something else. Hmm. Now, listen, I want to just kind of throw a disclaimer out there. I love everybody, whether you are sinful or well, you're all sinful. So. You're all sinful. Let's just be clear there.
Some of you that cover it up better.
Sure. But whether you are actively participating in sin, albeit sexual sin, immoral, wickedness, all these things, I love you. And I also love you enough that I need to tell you that you're wrong. It doesn't affect how much I love you, but I need to tell you that you're wrong. Why? Because so that you can see more clearly the love of God. Now, I think that there are loving and unloving ways to say that. And so I think that as Christians, we need to be very careful. And we need to know that when we come in love, that means that our words are also loving. I think about when the Lord saved me. He could have whacked me over the head and condemned me because I deserved that. And he spoke lovingly to me through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we need to make sure that we speak to people in loving terms. Love them towards the Lord while at the same time being bold enough to correct what is wrong and to speak truth into their lives. And so these folks here, they had crept in unnoticed. These are guys who are in the church, and they're changing the grace of God into something else. You know, I read this verse and I say, this is happening today. There are pulpits across America where you can find people who are preaching that it is okay to sin. We don't have to worry about this or that, or that Jesus never spoke about this. No, Jesus spoke about everything. Sometimes, though, he didn't have to speak about this one thing, because when he spoke about worshiping the Lord, that covers everything. You know, when he spoke about fidelity and integrity and character, he was speaking about all those other things, too, because those things touch that. But for so many of us, if Jesus didn't say this specific word in this specific topic, then he must not have addressed it. No, he did address it. And by the way, the Old Testament that we so often want to say is passé, Jesus loved to reference that. And so here, just like today, people have crept in unnoticed. Why are they unnoticed? Because everybody's asleep at the wheel. Nobody is contending for the faith. That's why Jude's writing the letter. Jude says, these people got in unnoticed because you stopped contending for the faith. You stopped being vigilant. You stopped being watchful. You stopped keeping an eye on what was happening. And so they crept in. And by the way, the Lord already knew it, right? Because they were designated long ago for condemnation. They are ungodly people, and they pervert the grace of God into sensuality. Isn't it interesting that they pervert the grace of God into sensuality? Because one of the greatest problems the church has is that the church does not speak into the issues of sexuality and sensuality, of intimacy and those kinds of things, for fear that we might somehow offend somebody. And so, therefore, it gives these kinds of people such an easy avenue because nobody else is talking about it. And by the way, everybody wants to talk about it. And so, you know, just look at, you go to the checkout at the grocery store. What are all the magazines talking about? Sex. You go rent a movie. What's a movie got to have in it? Sex. You go anywhere. What's sexuality is on display every single place. I mean, I'm shocked. The reason why we don't have regular TV, Mark, is because the commercials make me crazy.
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking, I do not need half-naked women to sell me shampoo. Just show me hair. Yeah. Like, just show me your hair and go, like, look at... Yeah. Look how golden my hair is. I don't need, like, I don't need the other thing because it's just not helpful. Or, you know, I don't want more Doritos because they have some woman scantily clad eating Doritos. All of a sudden I'm not like, well, you know, I wasn't hungry until now. Yeah. No, not at all. But for some reason in our culture, we love, we're driven by the desires of sensuality. And so what do these false teachers do? They take the grace of God and they try to tie it to that, to issues of sensuality and sexuality, and leading towards immorality. And in doing so, they deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do they do that? Because Jesus says, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you're committing adultery. And so, listen, when these guys are pointing people towards that, Jesus is saying, don't even look at it. And so that's a denial of Jesus' own words. That's a denial of who Jesus is. Now, by the way, I don't have time to go through all this. It is just crazy what Jude does. I would suggest people go and study it. But he goes into the Old Testament. He begins to address cultural problems. By the way, he begins to address homosexuality. He begins to address the issue of marriage. He begins to address all these things that culturally in Jude's day are happening. And strangely enough, happening in ours, too.
Right.
Happening in ours. Mark's
nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new. Right now, Mark's going, gosh, I should have picked that other verse.
No.
God so loved the world.
I'm thinking, shoot, we should do a series on Jude. On
oh,
the
gosh.
Wednesdays.
No way. No way. But listen, here's the thing. Jude says, I want you to contend for the faith. He says, I want you, church, to wake up. I want you to stand up for the faith, but I want you to do it lovingly and carefully because the time is growing short. That's why Revelation comes next. Revelation comes to tell us that time is growing short. We were in BSF a number of years ago studying the book of Revelation, and there was a bunch of us around in a circle, you know, all of us who have probably got more Bible in us than we probably need. And there was this guy who was just brand new, you know, new to the faith, 6 months. And we're all talking about this in Revelation and that, you know, amillennialism, pre-trib, you know, rapture, all this kind of stuff. And this guy goes, hey, you know, I don't understand what you guys are really all talking about, but I just think the book of Revelation is about worship and evangelism. Time is short. We need to worship God, and we need to invite other people to worship God so that when that moment closes, they don't wind up in the abyss, but instead they wind up in the New Jerusalem. Boom. Amen. So what is Jude saying? Jude says, time is short. We need to contend for the faith. So Jude then moves, if you've got a Bible. My ESV says in verse 17, a call to persevere. And so listen, he says, you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said, in the last time there will come scoffers. By the way, the apostles didn't make this up. Jesus himself also said it. There will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. They said, listen, you forgot the part of the book where God warns you that these things are going to happen. By the way, that's nothing new. On Fridays, we go through Exodus, and God tells Moses, listen, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you in Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 10, Moses is like, why won't he listen to me? And God's like, I already told you he wasn't going to, just as I said. And then this leads us into the prayer. Because, friends, right now, if you're looking out in the world, if you just finished, you know, it's 7:32 a.m. and you're just working on that cup of coffee, you read the paper, you had the news on, you're getting all amped up because you see the world is falling apart. Maybe at 7:32 p.m. you just finished with work, you listened to the news in the car on the way home. Maybe you got home and you flipped on the news and you're eating a late dinner, and now you're getting amped up because work was a mess and now the world's a mess and your life is a mess and you're just getting irritated. Friends, Jude calls you to contend for the faith, to persevere. That's why this doxology is so important. I pray this doxology so often. Now to him who is able. Why is he able? Because you're unable. You can't do it. You need his strength, who is able to keep you from stumbling. That is your life right now. Only God is able to keep you from stumbling by the strength and power of his Spirit. Not only is he able to keep you from stumbling now, but he is the only one who is able to present you then blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Mm-hmm. And if you need something to look forward to, if you're like, man, I just need something to look forward to, I need something to know to be true, this is it right here, that God has planned to present you blameless before his presence with great joy. The presence of the glory of God you will one day stand before, and it will not be like a wah, 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 welcome to the throne room. No, it'll be with great joy. To our only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, be majesty, be dominion, and be authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. If you are feeling downtrodden and stomped on and you're just feeling like you can't make it, friends, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And that's the faith you contend for.
Now and forevermore.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. The assignment is clear. Pull out that book of Jude today. It's one page in most all of your Bibles, just before the book of Revelation. It's in the New Testament. We highly recommend you reading it. Pray it up as God would reveal truth to you, maybe points of application for your day or this weekend or for the rest of your life. There's so many great things in this book, so many things that God uses through his inspired scripture to bring healing and hope and conviction and change. So read your Bible today, and we suggest this book of Jude. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.